It's Sunday, we are online, and welcome back. It's a massive privilege to be with you, to spend time in the Word, trusting that the Holy Spirit will come and stir a great faith in our hearts. Last week, we kicked off with Vision Sunday, and we know the prophetic theme for this year, God's heart for our church community, is new life. We also trust that not only in our church, but in many other areas, new life of the Lord, of the kingdom, and of Jesus Christ will be seen in this time. I'm really full of faith that the Lord will do that. Remember, prophecy is a foretelling, and we can align ourselves with what the Lord wants to do. So I trust that you've been praying and that you've been asking God of where He wants to bring new life through your life. Today we're going to look at salvation, eternal new life, the most important element of our Christianity, and that is salvation. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to trust that the Lord speaks to you, and He comes and stirs a deep faith for us so that we can see mountains move, that we can see new life salvations come in many, many lives. Let's pray. Lord, more than anything, I pray that our faith, Lord, will today not be based on my words, but your Holy Spirit and power. So, Lord, I wholeheartedly just give myself over to you, Lord. I give this moment and time to you. And I say, Lord, what you had planned for this moment, let it be. God, I pray not for only my voice to be heard. Lord, I pray for encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself for each and every listener. Lord, I pray that you will encounter those whose hearts are hungry for your truth. Lord, I pray that you will come with salvation to the homes that need it in this time. Lord, more than ever before, darkness is covering the earth, Lord, and there's massive battles raging. But God, we also know that eternity is at stake for many souls. And so here we are, Lord, simple vessels, humbling ourselves and say, Lord, come, and come and encounter people that are hungry and thirsty for Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you will lead us and empower us. And we thank you for your grace upon grace upon grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And so when we talk about new life, and we will look at it quite often as a foundation this year, the most important one, as I said, is eternal new life, being salvation, which starts when you get born again. And we'll look at the scripture just now. Now you might think, well, Ratif, I am saved and I've been with the Lord for a number of years. What else can I learn today? But I want you just to chill and wait and receive again afresh, maybe a zeal for the gospel, for the good news. And then also an anointing. And also maybe just heeding to what the Word says to us in having to go out and share the Word with others. Having to live out the Gospels so that people might be saved. Now, I grew up Christian all my life, but in a traditional way. I ticked the boxes, I knew about the Lord, but I didn't have a real relationship with God. Something that changed my life. The new life, the eternal new life of salvation, and to be born again wasn't part of who I was at that stage. But I knew, and now I can see that the Lord had that plan for my life, for which I'm very thankful. So I grew up traditionally and I kind of tried to do the right thing. But never had I experienced the power of the Word and the Spirit actually changing my life and taking sin out of my life and bondage and fears and identity issues, etc. And so I went to varsity, and then unfortunately my second year I lost my dad, and we were very close, and that really broke my heart and broke a lot of things in my life even further, which led down a very spirally road unto destruction, to be honest. And so my life was a real mess. Identity-wise, it was a mess. And so you would have not necessarily seen that, because I had a big mouth and a big facade or two that I hid all of this hurt and lack of peace behind. And so I was confused, I was hurt, and I didn't know what life was about. And then along came this beautiful young lady that asked me to a dance. And luckily, I said yes. And so as I started to connect with her more and more, I realized that she had something different. There was real life. And today I know it's Holy Spirit life in her and through her. Now, she's not perfect. And today I'm married to her, but neither am I. But I, for the first time, started to drink of the living waters of what I know today to be Jesus Christ. And God came, and you'll read in Luke 15 about the prodigal son, but he literally came, and when I came to my senses, and by the grace of God, when I turned and accepted Jesus for the first time really in my life, and when I was filled with his spirit and baptized with his spirit, my life started to change. Not because of Edna per se, but because of who she carried and who she represented. And she started to pray for me, and I know by now also that my mom really prayed and interceded for me. And God came and he literally plucked me from the fire. He took me from that pigsty and he started to dust me off. And he gave me identity. He gave me and showed me authority in Jesus Christ. And then he started to give me a destiny and restored my life. Now obviously today I'm still a work in progress in a big way. But I'm thankful for what the Lord did in 2004. And I want him to do that for other people as well. I'm thankful for the eternal new life that he gave me, and I want other people to have that as well. And lately, we have seen with family members getting sick and friends and loved ones actually succumbing to this pandemic, that life is short. And I've heard about and I know about people that actually pass away without ever receiving the salvation, new life of Jesus Christ. And that breaks my heart. I asked God beforehand just for his heart for the loss. And immediately it reminded me of Mila this week, having her neck injured. And she was really hurting. And she couldn't move herself for a moment. And how that shook me. It shook my whole life that my little daughter was suffering. Now she's fine. She's running around. She's on the trampoline again. And there's no worries. How much more if for a earthly dad with a flesh that's still without Christ as a sinful nature, if that can shake a dad, an earthly dad like that, how much more can eternal destruction hurt our Heavenly Father for his children? How much more does his heart not ache for the lost? And so join me as we trust for his heart today for the lost. And if you say, well, I don't have Christ in my life, please do listen. Because I believe maybe he might be knocking at your door today. Now there's three individuals I want to talk to today. Three individuals. But I'm going to get back to that shortly. We can quickly chat about salvation in eternity. Because I believe, and as I read in this week, there's a verse that really stood out to me. St. Augustine said the following. You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. And that is just my testimony. When I met the Lord, thankfully Edna prayed for me, other people prayed for me, and Christ really came and he changed my life and gave me new life. I, for the first time, really found rest. And then in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, it says the following, and this I want you to know, albeit if you're a believer or an unbeliever, or you feel you need to share the gospel with somebody, this is what is in every man's heart. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also put eternity in their hearts. But man cannot discover the work God has done from the beginning to the end. And then the Amplified says, he has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. He has also planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. And I can testify to that. Yet man cannot find out, comprehend or grasp what God has done, his overall plan from the beginning to the end. But the important part here is, and what I read that really rammed to me, is that eternity is in every man and every woman's heart. Here's the thing. You can't change your factory settings. You were made that way. Each and every person under the sun, albeit they might argue with you and not acknowledge it, but in the heart of every person that you ever met or every person that you might want to share the love and the grace of Jesus Christ with, eternity is in that heart of theirs. There's this divine tension knowing that there's more. There's something after this. And so we have this opportunity to share with people that it is God that can fulfill, that it is God that can satisfy, and that the restoration with him is what is necessary. C.S. Lewis says the following, if I find myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, again I can testify, The most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. And so we can't change the factory setting. And so it is there. And we need Him. We need Christ to come and satisfy this hungry soul and then give us new life that is eternal. And now, last week we looked at Ezekiel 36, and as a church we've looked at it a number of times, but if you're listening in for the first time, I just want to repeat it so that it can be part of your theology, part of your armor as well, because God already promised, you know, in the old covenant, we couldn't be righteous in and of ourselves. And so we couldn't keep the rules, because there need to be rules. And we couldn't keep it. And so God then prophetically, even in the Old Testament, said, hey, I give you a promise of salvation. Let's quickly read in Ezekiel 36. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. Firstly, that's what I needed as an unbeliever. I will cleanse you from your filthiness and from all your idols. And that is exactly what the Lord did and what He currently still does in my life. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take your heart of stone and out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people and I will be your God. Now, as I said before, just quickly, just a beautifully God as a good father, as I cared for Mila and all my kids, obviously, He comes and He says, I will sort out this mess. I will. And in fact, then I will come and tabernacle. I will come and live in you. I will come and give you the new life on your inside so that you can adhere to my covenants. Because I'm a righteous God. I'm a holy God. Sin cannot stand. Brokenness because of sin cannot stand in my presence. I am a holy God. But hey, I will help you because I love you. I love you. And by the way, if you go read this, Tia mentioned it this week. God said, I'm doing it because I'm holy. I'm doing it because of my name, not because you're so cute, but because of who I am. This is what I do. I am love, and so this is what I do. And then later on in verse 31, luckily, and this is a key for salvation. Remember, with whomever you share it, or if you need to be saved, this is a key, a humility to realize that we need salvation and we need the help. Verse 31, then you will remember your evil ways and all your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. And so that's a bit heavy, but that's exactly what it is. I can testify my abominations, my idols, my sinfulness, that filth, that without the Lord, that was exactly what my life looked like. And so praise God for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for coming to pay that price and then giving me the new life spirit, the eternal new life of Jesus Christ, to start walking out the salvation. Now let's quickly look at what salvation is. And we know already, as I mentioned, it starts off by being born again. Now in John 3, we've got a beautiful moment that Jesus shares with Nicodemus. So let's read together and please follow with me. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him, Jesus, at night and said, it's quite interesting that he came at night. He was firstly a Pharisee, and so he knew the Torah, he knew the law. He was a religious man. He was like Retief back in the day, ticking the boxes, but having no real life in him at all. Never tasting the Spirit, not really following after Jesus. Maybe having the form, but having no substance. And then he comes at night because what? He's scared of what other people might think. Now in this day and age, Nicodemus might have been on church online and checking out churchy things and checking out sermons because nobody else is watching. And so let's look at what he did. Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with them. Jesus replied, I assure you, unless somebody is born again, the Greek there is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No, we know by now the kingdom of God is to see spiritually the reality of heaven and hell, and then to know about eternity. And so the things of God is the kingdom. And where God's will is done, there the kingdom comes. So let's read that again. Unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But how can anyone be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked him. Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? Jesus answered, I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now that water there is natural birth, born of the Spirit, we know now is of God and from above, to be born again. Verse 6. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can these things be? Asked Nicodemus. Are you a teacher of Israel and don't know these things? Jesus replied, I assure you, we speak what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but you do not accept our testimony. And just quickly, I can stop there, just in line with my testimony. When I had chatted to Edna and when I met her, for the first time, I heard somebody that had encounters. Not just telling me about stuff, not just cognitive and mind knowledge, but somebody that I heard had an encounter with God, that had a real relationship with God. And so Jesus says, hey, we know, we've encountered, we've got testimonies. You don't believe me, but it's real. Let's read on. If I've told you about the things happen on earth and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about the things of heaven? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So to everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Now that word believe, John in this book uses, I think, about 98 times. He hardly ever refers to faith, but he says believe. It's pistio in Greek, and that's a verb. In other words, it's an action. He says it's not just this flippant idea, this just this moment that you have. No, it is active. It is a verb. It is a doing to believe in Jesus Christ. And so faith in Christ is exactly that. It is believing, but believing as an action. It is to eat and to drink of Jesus Christ. It is with your whole being, your heart. Remember, that's your main faculty that drives you to believe who he is and to action that in your life. So why do we need salvation? I think we've alluded to that, but it's because of sin and death that entered this world. Romans 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short, or fall short of the glory of God. So everybody, you, me, everybody included, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He is holy. He is perfect. And we have all fallen short. So sin entered because of Adam and Eve. And ever since, there's been problems. Yet God came down. And he said, my son, through my son, I will be the answer for you. And so Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if we look at new life, we now know that salvation, new life, is the primary. It's the first and foremost, the most important one. Why? Because sin leads to death. And so sin and death leads to eternal death. Hell is a pretty real thing. It's not just something in cartoons. It's not just something that people, traditional people, believed a number of years back. It's a pretty real thing. And people are going there at a great rate. And we, as a church, are called to share the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, so that people can be plucked from the fire like I had to be plucked from the fire, and so that we can one day go home, that we are pilgrims here, that one day we can go home, so that our Father's aching heart will not be like mine, or even worse, but that his sons and daughters can come home. New life salvation, Spirit-filled, born again. So that the effect of sin and death cannot take souls into an eternal hell. That's why we need to share these words. Now, sin leads to slavery, guilt and condemnation, spiritual blindness, lack of identity, hope and purpose, spiritual death, and separation between man and God. I wrote down earlier. But what we need is humility and faith in Christ to eradicate that sin so that it can be paid for, so that redemption can come, and so that we can be in right standing with our God again. John 3:16, for God loved the world in this way, that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone, every single one who believes, remember pistio, verb, active, actively believe, actively faith, have faith with fruit in Him, will not perish but have eternal life. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. And so why do we need salvation? Because of sin and death that entered. Christ came to restore righteousness, as we know. We repeat this so that we know and we can share this. That the gospel, the good news, will not only be the good news in my heart, but will be good news in my life, lifestyle, what I preach and what I share. Not only me, but you, 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 and you as well. So when sin comes in, we need to repent and acknowledge. So humility is that massive key. And then the Lord comes in, and then the new life, the new spirit life comes in, exactly as it happened in my life, for which I'm so thankful. I want to share that, and I trust that you want to share that as well. So how do you get born again, or how does salvation come about? Salvation, we'll see just now, is a process. It's a long process, but it starts by being born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus exactly how that happens. But in Romans, there's a nice passage in Romans 10. Let's read together. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Remember, believe again, that verb, pistio, active faith. One believes with a heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with your mouth, resulting in salvation. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Even if you sit there and you have the conviction, you have the moment, don't get swept up emotionally. But if you know the Lord is knocking on your door, say, Jesus is Lord. Now the scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, since the same Lord of all is rich to all who call on Him. Man, I'm thankful that I called on Him and other people cared for me. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So two things that you can remember as a believer to share with others. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord with your mouth. And then believe, pistio, active, verb. Believe daily that God raised Him from the dead. Sometimes that's a battle against the flesh and against that demonic onslaughts of the spiritual battles that we mentioned in the first two sermons of the year. Often there's battles, but you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart and you will be saved. And so then you become a new creation, we know by now. But also, in attention to that, we know that salvation is a process. Now, we are body, soul, and spirit, triune beings. And God comes not only and touches one, He touches all three areas. Body, soul, spirit. I can testify to that. God is constantly bringing restoration, salvation, restoration, Christ life, Christ likeness to my body, soul, and spirit. Sometimes I make mistakes. I've broken character. I've old soul wounds, and that leads to sin and death. But then I need to remind myself of who I am in spirit, a new creation. So, your spirit is renewed when you get born again. It's like a little baby, but now it needs to be fed. It needs to be cared after. It needs to be looked after. And you feed and you look after your spirit man more than your flesh. But you have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. And that, in my case, was 20 years old. And it was pretty messed up. And so it doesn't everything change in that moment, but there the process of sanctification and salvation is worked in through Christ, through His body, His word, His spirit. Fall a bit, stand up, being helped, being held accountable, being helped by the Lord, and His Spirit in me being walked out day by day. Let's quickly look at scripture that refers to both. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 to 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. New life. Thank you, Lord. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, like he had to reconcile a messed up Retief to himself to know that he is a son of God, to give him a new spirit, and to restore and then work out this thing in his life from that moment of being born again. Thank you, God, I'm thankful. And then spending eternity with him one day. How can you not want that? Not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Listen up, church. Shofar Table View, listen up. He has committed the message of reconciliation to us. How's that shoes of readiness to declare the gospel? Come on. We need to share this. If you see somebody is drowning and you can help, I'm sure that you will. If it's your loved one, even more so. That's natural to all of us. But all of God's children that are drowning need us to walk in this truth. Philippians 2 verse 12 says the following. Remember salvation as a process, starting from new birth. So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now that sounds hectic, because it is hectic. Hell is pretty real. And so not only finding that, but working that out with the Lord relationally, trusting that His Spirit, that be reminded of His promise that He will help you with, will help you out to walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because eternity is at stake for the souls of man and woman. Billy Graham said, salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything we have. I might tweak that a bit and say, salvation, starting with being born again, is for free. But that salvation working out process through discipleship, the rest of your life will cost you everything. Okay, I tweaked it a lot, but you hear my heart. And so, count the cost if the Lord calls on your heart. Know that it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you to keep Him Lord of your life. It's going to cost you to keep on believing in your heart by acting that out daily. Not just to be a Sunday Christian, but to keep Him as Lord and to follow Him. But there's no such greater thing in life than having the life of the Lord in your life. And even more, to have eternity with Him and not anywhere else. So salvation, new life. New life salvation means that our sins get forgiven when we humble ourselves and repent and acknowledge that we're not good and we need God. We need His answer. We need this new plan of His. We need that new life of Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven. We are cleansed. And then we receive His Spirit by which He helps us. We are redeemed and now we have a solid relationship with Him. But then we are called to lay down our lives and follow Him wholeheartedly as the process of salvation gets worked out in our lives. Not alone, but with Him. And then, as we said today, then we share it with others. And so now I just quickly want to talk to three individuals. Three individuals. The first one is an unbeliever. If you are here saying, well, I don't believe in Christ our Lord. I firstly want to just go back to scripture. Just saying, here's my conviction. I say this humbly. Remember, God, I don't believe God emotionally sweeps up people. He doesn't manipulate anybody into heaven. He will not manipulate anybody emotionally or any way else into relationship with Him. That's why He gave us free will. He wants you to love Him because you want to. That's it. So please, if there's any tension, throw it off. He will not manipulate or come and bully you into relationship. He could have done that. He's God, but He doesn't do that. That's the beauty, but also that's the detriment of life here on earth. Romans 1:16-17 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. And today I just want to say I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then to the Greek. It's God's power unto salvation to those who believe. Postio. I'm so thankful because it's changed my life. It has changed the life of my children. It has changed eternity for me. I am thankful and I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I don't ever want to be ashamed of the gospel. It might sound like foolishness. In fact, Paul says in another place in Corinthians, he says, the gospel, we preach Christ crucified, it's a stumbling block to the Jews, and it's folly, foolishness, stupidity to the Gentiles. In other words, the people out there think, Retief is jy van jou panaf. I'd much rather be from my panaf for Jesus and spend eternity with him and share the power that has changed me of the salvation of Jesus Christ. So I invite you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. So that if you postil, if you believe in your heart and action and walk that out, not just once off, not just running to the front and saying yes, but if you walk that out and you confess with your mouth, you will have eternal life. I don't want you to perish. I don't want to spend eternity without you. And then to the second person, to the second individual, is the believer. The one that says, I am a Christian, I'm a disciple of the Lord. To you I want to say, share the gospel. If you truly believe that this is eternal new life, if you truly believe and have seen and encountered that it's changed your life, why not share it? Church, I invite you to share the gospel like never before. Obviously with the Lord, obviously with His grace, obviously being wise, obviously not hurting people, but being brutally honest with people, because it might save them for eternity. Share the gospel. Romans 10:14 to 15 says, but how can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. You have been called to preach. Might be on social media. It might be through your actions. It might be at a braai. It might be to your neighbor. But you've been called to preach. What if they're not sent? Well, here you go. If you're in our church, I send you. By the grace of God, with the anointing of the Lord, as He pleases, and as the word says, I send you to preach the gospel with your life. Like never before. We've been entrusted with the good news. We've been given this life buoy. Let's share it with other people. I believe if I don't share the salvation message to other people, I am probably myself not saved. And so I'm trusting that God will just stir a fresh fire for you, because times are little. Please don't think that there's lots and lots of time. Let's share the gospel. And then the last individual I want to talk to today is God the Father. And that I will do in prayer just now. Let's read together first. John 6:44. No one can come to me, that's Jesus, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So God the Father draws people to Jesus. We know the word says, many are called, but few are chosen. Those that are chosen is only those that say yes. But He invites everybody. He draws. But I'm going to pray that he draws those that is in our family, that He draws them. We're going to share salvation cards and we're going to start actively praying for people. But we're going to trust that God draws them and He does not stop. We also know that the Spirit was given to us to convict the world of righteousness, sin and judgment. The Holy Spirit doesn't only stay in you and tabernacle with you to help you. The Holy Spirit is constantly ministering to the whole world about righteousness, sin and judgment, about the reality of eternity. And then humility and heeding and maybe confessing with your tongue and bending your knee is what is needed. But the Lord is doing His part. He is drawing people closer and the Spirit is constantly ministering to people. So everybody out there, their factory setting says that eternity is in their hearts. They know there's more. They also know that nothing here can satisfy them. The Spirit is constantly convicting. They might not acknowledge it, but constantly the Spirit of God is convicting. And God the Father, who loves each and everybody, the Word says He wants everybody to be saved. He constantly draws them. Let's pray together. Let's trust for new life harvest, eternal new life for many souls. And that heaven will be crowded and not hell one day. Let's pray together. Father God, I firstly want to ask, Lord, keep on drawing those in our area. Keep on drawing them closer to you, Lord. Keep on drawing them closer to you and closer to Christ so that they can receive Jesus. Confess with their mouths. believe in their hearts, and that they will be saved and receive eternal life. Lord, if there's anybody today that says, I want Christ, I want to receive Him, maybe for the first time, or I want to recommit, Lord, help them, Holy Spirit, now to just confess, repent of their sins, and then confess Christ as Lord. Lord, also come and give them the reality of what discipleship will cost them. And Lord, help them then to walk it out for the rest of their lives. Lord, and as a church, Lord, You've given us this prophetic theme, and we know that salvation is the first and foremost most important thing to You, Lord. So we just say, here we are. Use us, Lord. You've entrusted this good news, this message to us. You firstly plucked us from the fire, but now use our lives to pluck others from the fire and then walk a road of love with them. In Jesus' name. God, have Your way, have Your way, have Your way, Lord. Thank You for revival. Thank You for salvations. Thank You for new life, and that You will keep us upright, Lord. I can't keep myself upright, Lord, but You can. And then You've given me a beautiful church family. Have Your way, have Your way, have Your way. Amen. I'm going to leave an email at the end if you are one of those individuals that would love to invite Christ into your life and start following Him to have eternal life. Email us. We want to connect with you. And then if you are in our church community and you're really convicted to share the gospel, let's start praying. We'll share some info on our feed in this week. Let's start praying and trusting for eternal salvation, new life to many. I'm stirred up, but I'm thankful that God is faithful. And whatever He started in our lives, He will complete. And not only our lives, but many others that we are fortunate enough to touch. I'm thankful for that. Have an awesome week. We chat next week. God bless. Bye.